Hey, this is 19 Nocturne Boulevard's Julie, and if you have an iPhone, we have an app for that. Coming soon, hopefully a Droid app, too. Go check your app store!
19 Nocturne Boulevard. Your address for suspenseful stories of the speculative, strange, and supernatural.
Tonight's story is When the Lamp Goes Out, written by Julie Hoverson. Sound and mastering by James Sedgwick of Scattered Sounds Productions.
Did you have any trouble finding it?
What do you mean, what kind of a place is it? Why, it's a private movie theater. Want some popcorn?
Is it on?
I think so.
Cool. Where's PK?
He's taking a leak.
We really need to get started. Irina isn't going to want to wait forever.
Man, she is smoking hot. And that accent.
Eastern European. Probably Ukrainian.
Let's go ahead and get started. We can bring PK in here when he gets his ass back here. Greetings, everyone. This is Uncle Skull's Bloody Spooky Podcast, and I'm Nick Dungeon. With me, as always, are Oswald.
Are we starting already?
And Roy.
Hey.
And PK will be back in a second to join us.
He's trying to hit on Irina, the dick.
Is he?
I don't know. It just sounds better than he's been in the crapper for like half an hour.
He needs more fiber.
How much fiber is there in tequila shooters?
With or without the worm?
Well, worms are primarily protein. There's no fiber.
You hoseback starting without me?
And PK is on. I was about to say, as you can probably hear, we're not in our regular studio.
Also known as Roy's apartment.
Also known as his mom's basement.
How much popcorn did you buy?
A couple of big tubs, and I didn't even have to buy them. Arena said, special tonight, we can have all the popcorn we want.
No wonder he gets clogged up.
Let's get on to our main topic, shall we? This was kind of a surprise to us, but we were contacted by our hostess tonight, Irina, whom we've mentioned a couple of times already tonight.
And who's smoking hot.
It's already come up, dude.
You're not kidding.
So she emailed the show, and it turns out that she has a copy of the fabled movie When the Lamp Goes Out, which has another title in its original language, but I can't pronounce it. Roy?
Huh?
You remember what the original title was?
Shit. I don't even remember what the original language was.
The movie was filmed in 1967 by the legendary filmmaker Z. He made the movie in 7 days with the entire set built inside an abandoned bunker left over from World War II.
You don't remember the title either, do you?
I've got it on my laptop.
Anyway, the movie is fabled since it was filmed behind the old Iron Curtain and was banned for being subversive and pornographic. PK.
What?
You want to carry on with the description?
Huh. We haven't even seen it yet.
Yeah, but you've talked about the lamp before. Didn't you say you knew someone who claimed he'd managed to download a few minutes of it?
Nah, that was bullshit. I was just trying to shut Oswald the hell up.
Okay, then. Oswald, why don't you tell us about the movie's only showing?
A copy, thought for years to be the only copy, was smuggled into France and debuted at the Palais de Grotesquerie. Its debut...
And only showing...
...was marked by the same kind of weird effects that Rites of Spring and Hexen and even The Creeping Unknown were marked by. Seizures in the audience, fights, and rumors of deaths.
People were really traumatized by it, eh?
That must be why the movie was supposed to have been all destroyed.
So, for the last 40-plus years, this movie has been assumed destroyed, and now it turns out that our lovely hostess has found a surviving and complete print.
And we're gonna watch it live here on our podcast to let you know if it's all that.
Keep in mind, we will be the first people in 40 years or so to see this film and talk about it. If that's not an exclusive, I don't know what is. Let's see where we stand right now. What do you expect from the movie, PK?
I figured it's going to be pretty tame. 1967, I watched McKay for fun, and thought the human centipede was...
Redeeming social value?
Nah, sick-ass special effects.
What about the seizures and stuff?
I have a theory about that.
Marketing, snob value, urban legends can grow up around a freaking cutout of Ted Danson, let alone a movie no one has seen.
No, there's a very simple explanation.
You're a douche?
Strobing effect. It's a fact that certain lighting effects can set off any incipient epileptics in the audience. Hollywood compensates for it now, but they didn't understand the phenomena back in the 1960s.
Good point, and it only takes one person claiming that the movie caused some kind of attack. Are we ready?
Sorry, just another minute.
You heard it, she's smoking hot.
So, what the hell is this movie about, anyway?
Wow, we haven't gone into that yet? Well, it so happens we have a voicemail, so I'll turn it over to Libby.
Oh, Libby. Her voice makes me feel funny.
Yeah, you normally only feel that way alone.
Shh!
Hi, guys. It's Libby from Tales of the of Madness podcast, and did I hear you right? That you're going to be watching The Lamp Goes Out? Wow! I found an old movie magazine on eBay a few years ago that included a brief description, but frankly, I wasn't even sure the film existed, since it's not in any of the, you know, movie books or IMDb or anything.
A lot of foreign stuff is still being added.
Anyway, so, here's what the description says according to Google Translate. Did I mention it was in Italian? The article, I mean. Three preachers in Constantinople, middle time, punish a harlot, which is evil. And seems that, like, the damsel is wicked spirit coming to snatch sin he has.
What the fuck?
Interesting.
Hold on, I think there's more.
Anyway, I hope that helps. Can't wait to hear the episode, guys. Bye!
It sounds like...
Middle times? Like the Middle Ages?
Great. More crap robes and skull caps.
We are ready. I must warn you, as this place only has one projector, there will be break between reels.
Sounds good. We can record some notes.
It's odd. I guess I thought it would be, you know, not in English.
It's dubbed, man.
But it looks like it matches, almost.
Who cares? So far it's as dull as Oswald's love life. Blah, blah, blah. Priesty priest.
Is it just me? Or is that chick the one that was just brought out and put in the rack?
Stocks.
Whatever. Doesn't she look a lot like Irina back there?
Nah. Nah.
Well, quick recap for our listeners.
May I? In the first half hour, we've met the priests, each with a glaringly obvious fatal flaw, which will probably be exploited later.
And tantalizing glimpses of the woman in question.
I believe that even in the credits, she's listed only as the woman.
But so far, the only really salubrious part...
Apart from the chick's armpit hair. Man, didn't they invent shaving back then?
The only vestigial part was the opening. With a vision of hell that I hope we can go back and take a closer vantage at sometime.
Of course.
Jesus!
You'll have a chance to look closer. Later.
Thanks.
The next reel is ready.
Great, bring it on.
Of God.
God does not have to know what things pass between us.
I think we understand where this hiatus is leading. The counterweight of the woman representing all that is...
Speak English, Nick. Jeez. The trick represents Satan and sex... and all the things holy fathers aren't supposed to go for.
Everything but kids.
Don't mock.
Anyway, she is smoking. I swear she's hurt. Seriously. But she hasn't aged more than 10 years. 20 with a good Botox pipeline.
She'd have to be 60. Because 20 in 1967 would make her 43 more years than...
I do share, and she's like 70.
And a man.
Let's get back on chart. While we evacuate for the next reel, what have we engendered so far?
You're not making any sense.
Yeah, what have you been smoking?
I'd even do Joan Rivers, but only if she paid me.
I need to go.
Why the rapidity? We're at the epitome, and everything is narthex to navels from here.
No, I...
What have we learned so far?
Like, one priest was horny, and she worked on him, squirming and rubbing.
Oh, yeah.
And he's been flogging himself ever since.
But not in a nice way.
And the greedy one. I heard about the scene. The finger-breaking scene? That's the one Gordo said he downloaded that one time, where he snapped off one of her fingers, thinking it turned to gold, and then started snapping off his own.
That should progress smoothly.
I can't stay.
Waken your reservoir, dude.
You guys aren't feeling this? Aren't seeing this? Haven't seen that third priest stuffing his face constantly?
What? Weenie?
Call me a weenie if you want, but do it tomorrow.
Is there something wrong?
I'm not hungry.
Too bad. I'm a bit peckish myself.
You guys, come on. We don't need to...
Take off, douche.
Aubergine!
What is it you know will happen here?
I don't know. I don't know anything.
Good. For the man who believes his cup of knowledge is full will never try to pour anything new into it.
Let me leave.
Dude, just go.
Do you know why?
I do not know. I might guess, but we'll never be sure. Ever again.
Such a pity.
Can I get some more popcorn?
When the lamp goes out and the petty trappings of the day fall away, all men are left draped in naught but their sins. A man without sin is like soup without salt. Would you not agree?
Now that you know how to find us, don't be a stranger. We have enough of those already. Tonight's episode, When the Lamp Goes Out, was written by Julie Hoverson, and sound and mastering was done by James Sedgwick of Scattered Sounds Productions. In this episode, Nick was Jeff, Roy was Steve, PK was DJ, and Oswald was Matt. Four of the hosts of the Splattercast, an oddly familiar horror movie review podcast, available at www.deadlantern.com. Thanks, guys, for participating. Libby was Melissa Bartell, Irina, the woman, was Julie Hoverson, and the man in the film was James Sedgwick. Music for this episode was by Kevin McLeod of Incompetech.com. Sound effects were found on Soundsnap.com, OneSoundFX.com, and Sonomic.com. The opening theme was by Kevin McLeod at Incompetech.com. The opening credits featured Cole Hornaday, Renaud LaBeouf, and Julie Hoverson. All persons, places, and events in this story were fictitious or used in a fictitious manner and are not meant to reflect any persons, places, or things, living, dead, or undead. Questions? Comments? We would love to hear from you. Contact us at 19nocturne@live.com, that's 19nocturne, or check out our website at www.19nocturneboulevard.com. This presentation is copyright 2011 to Julie Hoverson and Weality Productions, and is released under a Creative Commons non-commercial license. Spread the show around, but don't try to make money off it.